Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Browns take on the Broncos tonight, Monday Night Football. The Dangerous One, Daryl Ryder, brought to you by Shivan Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. He covers the Browns for 92.3 The Fan and 92.3TheFan.com. But you know what, Daryl? To hell with it. Ohio State lost on Saturday. I think he got opinions on that. Let her ride, Dangerous One.
I'm fighting mad. Almost as fighting mad as the Buckeyes were after the game.
What do you think, Daryl? What are your thoughts?
I think Ryan Day's got to go. I mean, if this was not the era of the transfer portal and NIL and coaches making just ungodly sums of money, I think my view would be differently, because we'd just be talking about kids and student athletes. But it's basically minor league professional football in college football these days. And you cannot lose to Michigan 4 straight years, not with the talent that you have. Situational awareness at times this year, not great. Offense, not great. You can't. And I'm laughing at those that say, well, you know, if they go on to win the national championship, he'll be safe. They're not winning the national championship. This team chokes at critical moments under Ryan Day. And the case in point why he has to go is the way he stood there, absolutely clueless what to do during the melee. You're the head coach of the football team. You need to be in the middle of policing that and breaking it up, not just standing around like you're just a spectator. So, yeah, not a Ryan Day fan. He is who I thought he was. Not good enough. I think Ohio State needs to make a coaching change, because they're not winning the national championship.
Got third best odds. Daryl, third best odds.
Yeah, well, good for them. They couldn't beat an unranked Michigan team, Anthony. Mm. 10 points. That you got 10 points against an unranked Michigan team who came into your house and punked you. And then all your energy was spent after the game trying to fight them for wanting to plant a flag at midfield. I don't know. Maybe should have expended some of that energy scoring some points during the 60 minutes. You were allowed to hit them. So, yeah, I just... not real happy with Ryan Day and the Buckeyes this morning.
Where's that loss stack up for you? Is it just a sports fan? I saw people debating.
Oh, that was John Cooper-esque. I mean, he is John Cooper 2.0. Rarely wins the big game, and certainly doesn't win the game. Doesn't win a lot in the college football playoff either. So they're spending way too much money in Columbus to be losing games like that. Sorry. I mean, again, if the environment in college football was the good old days where, you know, we're just talking about student athletes and kids and things like that. No, but college football is big business now, and the standard in Columbus is a lot higher than the one he has his team play to.
Daryl Ryder brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Daryl, I agree with a lot of what you're saying, got to tell you, but we'll discuss that deeper at 8:20 after we are off the phone with you, because we got to talk Browns with you. And the Browns are taking on the Broncos. Is Jameis Winston, is he playing for a possible spot as a starting quarterback in 2025 for your Cleveland Browns?
At this point, I don't know if the Browns will be able to afford Jameis Winston if he keeps playing the way he's playing. Just like from a salary cap standpoint, cash, we know when it comes to the Haslams, that's really not an object when it comes to the team. This is the most expensive football team in NFL history this year, and unfortunately, the results don't reflect that investment. But, I mean, he's been serviceable. Has he been great? No. Has he been terrible? No. He's been good enough. He's played winning football. If he keeps playing like this, would I want him back next year? Absolutely. 100%. I think, you know, depending what the quarterback landscape looks like, and let's be honest about it, it's probably not going to be great. I think that he gives them a viable option next year. I don't know that he's going to be able to lead them to the playoffs, but they're going to be much more competitive with him at quarterback than Deshaun Watson. And I can say that because, well, they have been, in the 4 weeks he's been out there, more competitive than they have been the previous 7 weeks with Deshaun Watson. So, I don't know that he is taking it to the promised land, but he can certainly keep the boat afloat for you, and I think he's done a pretty good job since coming on.
Does it have more to do with Jameis, or does it have more to do with what's available in the draft?
Well, I would be in favor of, I would not draft a quarterback this year, but that's just me. Unless I'm taking a flyer on the guy in a later round and seeing if I can develop him and find something there, because it's just not worth it this year to me. But I think that even if, let's say, Anthony, there was a guy or two or three in this particular quarterback class that you want to draft, right, in the first round. Even if you did that, I probably would still want to bring Jameis Winston back. I'd move on from DTR. I'd move on from anyone else there, and I would have Jameis be the starter and have the rookie develop behind the scenes, because you're seeing, and I think that the Browns are in a better position than some of these bad teams, really, really bad teams with similar records from a roster standpoint. I think the Browns have a better roster and possibly could put a rookie quarterback on the field without throwing him to the wolves into abject failure like you're seeing a lot of teams do. And I think that's a mistake that a lot of franchises make with their young quarterbacks. And I realize it's not a one-size-fits-all solution to that situation, but I feel like that young quarterback development, first of all, they don't come into the league anymore very well developed, and you need some time to develop them a little bit in many cases, and you're just not affording them the opportunity, whether it's they got bad coaching around them, and then also you combine that with bad rosters around them. That's just not conducive for that first-round draft pick investment turning into your franchise quarterback years down the line.
Daryl Ryder brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers. I got to tell you, I'm having a hard time getting over this Cedric Tillman concussion that he's going to be out, because I want to evaluate him. And it's not even like me evaluating. I want the fan base to, because I think it would make us feel a little better about the future here if he were to continue to just develop, and now it kind of muddies the water a little bit because, you know,
I'm Tank Sinatra.
And I'm Investigator Slater.
And together we co-host a podcast called Psychopedia, which is a true crime podcast infused with comedy, making it a crimedy. Each week, Investigator Slater brings us a wild and thoroughly researched true crime case. I'm here to digest it all and react just like you probably are right there on the other side of the microphone.
Somehow, I've got to present each case with the detail and respect it deserves, while also cracking up at Tank's perfectly timed humor and thought-provoking questions.
Listen to and follow Psychopedia on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I can make arguments for Kevin. I can try to make arguments for Andrew, but I felt the more he was doing, the better that Cedric Tillman was doing, the less I had to argue on Andrew's behalf that he should come back and make the decision. And I guess I'm arguing with myself because I want to be able to trust him to go into the draft and make the picks and bring in the free agents here because, you know, there's another name here, Juan Thornhill, with a calf yet again. And I'm like, man, we've talked a lot about Juan Thornhill. We just haven't seen a lot of Juan Thornhill.
Well, the next safety that Andrew Berry signs in free agency that actually can have an impact on the field will be the first. Because, I mean, let's be honest about it. Juan's not made a lot of plays,
no.
Even when he's been available. I like him a lot. I like the energy he brings behind the scenes. I think he's a good locker room guy. Certainly, I feel there's talent there, but it's just been a disappointment. Let's just call it what it is. And certainly the injuries have played a pretty significant role in that regard. You know, Tillman will be back, I think, and get an opportunity. He's played well the last couple weeks, so I get your frustration there. I'd like to see Jerry Jeudy tonight play really, really well. Because, again, guy you traded for, this one you gave a pretty nice contract extension to, and would like to see he's on pace for a career year, so would like to see him really step up again. Tonight against the Broncos. But yeah, I mean, look, where the Browns are at 3-8, people are auditioning for jobs, right? And I get your point, Ken. You'd like to see some of the guys that Andrew brought in here, whether it's through the draft or free agency or trades, you'd like to see something from them so you can talk yourself into staying the course and not having to make any changes. And it doesn't sound like ownership right now has an appetite to make changes. But yeah, I mean, you'd like to see some of these guys you know, show they're worthy of being core pieces to this team in 2025, and that obviously means that Andrew Berry gets to keep his job.
Well, you mentioned Jerry Jeudy, and this is quite an interesting showdown with a homecoming game and a team that he would absolutely love to go off against. What have you seen this year from Jerry Jeudy, and is it in some ways vindicating management, validating their thought on the wide receiver position?
Well, I don't know if it's validating anything. But, you know, Jeudy, I think, has kind of come on. I think the quarterback change has helped. You know, I think that what we're learning this year is how bad Deshaun Watson is and how much he held everything back. That is, like, my top takeaway from this season right now. Is that he was that bad. And, you know, offense is scoring more points. They're moving the ball more. They're throwing for more yardage. Their third down still stinks, but it looks like a competent operation. Are there things that still need to be improved and fixed? Absolutely. But, yeah. I feel like, you know, Jeudy has been able to get those opportunities. And he talked about this earlier. You know, part of the reason he wanted out of Denver wasn't feeling like he got the opportunities. Well, you look at the last four games with Jameis, a quarterback, 5 catches, 79 yards against the Ravens, 7 for 73 against the Chargers, the Saints, 6 for 142 and a score. Last week against the Steelers, 6 for 85. He's getting opportunities. The previous four games, okay, he had 6 against the Raiders, but then 1 catch against the Commanders, 1 catch against the Eagles, 1 catch against the Bengals. Not a lot of opportunity there. So I think what you're seeing with Jeudy right now, Lima, is that he's getting opportunity. He's taking advantage of the opportunity and showing us what he can do.
Daryl Ryder joining us on the show. All right, Daryl, so if they go and they win in Denver, what's that mean to you long-term for the Browns?
I I mean, it just means that you know, they went and did their job, because they're out of the playoff picture, in my view. My biggest concern now, going into this game, Ken, is the offensive line against that Denver pass rush.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Denver's got 44 sacks this season. That's tops in the NFL. You got four guys that you have to deal with that have at least five of those: Zach Allen, John Franklin Myers, John the Cooper, Nick Benito. Benito's just been going bonkers this year, 10 sacks. Him and Allen have around a dozen tackles for loss on top of that. And if anyone pays attention to anything that Jim Schwartz says on Thursdays and during his media availability, he looks at tackles for losses the same as a sack, because they're, you know, dropping guys for losses behind the line of scrimmage. One obviously gets a little more weight than the others. And then obviously we'll see if Miles can get to the 100 sack milestone. He's a sack and a half away, and he'd be the first player in NFL history to do that before his 29th birthday. He turns 29 later this month. But yeah, you know, they went great. Everyone will be in a great mood, but I don't think that that changes really the course of history for this franchise, going to Denver and winning in a place, quite frankly, they struggled to win just once, actually twice, I should say, in seven or eight trips since 1990. Not a very hospitable place for the Cleveland Browns, but they've done it in recent memory. Back in 2018, they won in Denver, so we'll see if they can do it again on Monday Night Football.
Daryl, thank you very much for the time. We'll talk to you again at the end of the week, my friend.
You bet, guys. Enjoy the game tonight.
The exceptional Daryl Ryder, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Strong stuff about Jameis and his future, about the quarterbacks and whatnot. Boy, they were very strong about Deshaun Watson. There's some people who are like, well, you know, you can't really kick him off the team, so
yeah,
maybe you give him another shot. I just don't think there's, quote unquote, such a thing as a competition. I think if you find yourself, if you were to inflict them with honesty, they would go, well, if we were going to have a competition, quote unquote, we would hope that he doesn't win the competition, because if he wins the competition, it's not where he would just go, unless he were to go out there and play exceedingly well next year. It's where, boy, if he wins the competition, more than likely you have an even worse quarterback situation than you could have thought you would have going into an entire season. And a quarterback competition is something I don't think you want any of your, you don't want a coach that's been around for a while to actually have that. If you have a quarterback competition, I think there's been a lot of guys who have had quote-unquote competitions, open competitions. They wouldn't have been head coaches very much longer afterwards, because they knew that the situation was probably
it's really hard because almost impossible. Because it divides. Forget about the fan base. We know how that divides a fan base. We've been through that countless times with the Browns in the past. But it also divides a locker room.
Yes.
And players have,
because you're forced to choose.
Yeah, you kind of are.
The players are. His own teammates are forced to choose, yes.
So that does make it very, very tough. But, you know, when you go to a bridge quarterback, which is what Jameis would be if they bring him back next year, you know, bridge quarterbacks are always on thin ice. They're never guaranteed anything. So, yeah, it's easy for us to say, Jameis is the quarterback next year. Well, he is, unless they start out 0-3, and then, you know what I mean? Like, that's... Yeah. That a bridge quarterback, it always is like, oh, it makes sense on paper, buys us a year and gets us to whatever. But oftentimes, it doesn't really work out that way.